morning, everybody. This is the Marcus Today End of Day podcast on Thursday, 11th of April. Henry is indisposed today, so you've got me, you lucky things. This is general advice only, if it's advice at all. If you aren't a subscriber, why not? You are missing out on our wonderful community, education, information, ideas, and entertainment. And on the entertainment front today, the futures this morning were down 65, and our market plummeted 96 points on the open, and then spent all day crawling it back and closed down 31 points. So we recovered 65 points, and that was all on the back of the initial sell-off, was all on the back of the higher than expected CPI number last night in the US. Biggest gain in 6 months, third month of a higher than expected number. And that follows the strong jobs number last Friday, driven by gasoline and rental costs. As we know, the oil price has been going up for the last quarter on the back of the Israel-Gaza conflict. And that kicked off all sorts of chatter that the period of disinflation, in other words, period of inflation dropping, is over, and that that could delay rate cuts indefinitely. And in fact, we could even see rates rise yet again in the US. We've made no progress now on inflation in the US since October last year. And on the back of all that, the chances of rate cuts in the US just evaporated in front of our eyes. The chance of a rate cut in June is down from 73% to 16% in the last month. The chance of two rate cuts in the US by December is down from 87% to 19% in the last month. And the chance of three rate cuts by December is down from 60% to 3.7%. In other words, almost no chance now of three rate cuts. And on the back of that, US bond yields popped. The 10-year up 18 basis points, but the 2-year went up 23 basis points. That's almost a rate rise in one night in the 2-year. And Aussie bonds caught the backdraft from that. Our bond yields were up 10 and 11 basis points. And you can see mortgage owners in Australia just groaning at the thought that the RBA, who were likely to lag the US rate cuts anyway, may not see a rate cut at all this year. And in the US, the yield curve inverted even further. In other words, short-term bond yields went up more than longer-term bond yields. That's usually a sign of recession. It's not a cause of recession. It is simply that every time there's been a recession in the US, the yield curve is inverted. Well, it's inverted at the moment. The other thing that happened overnight was the US dollar jumped 1% and the Aussie dollar took a dive. We're back to 65.19. And usually what happens when the US dollar goes up is all the commodity prices, in fact, anything priced in US dollars, tends to take a dive. But the best performing sectors in Australia today were energy and resources. Metal prices are holding up. The gold price is holding up. Even the uranium price was up. This higher resources complex is put down to the increased geopolitical risk, as the US warned that they expect major missile and drone attacks by Iran on targets in Israel, which would just escalate that whole conflict again and keep gold flying along and risk appetite off. What else can I tell you? China's inflation number was out today. It is benign. Chinese CPI up 0.1% in March. Expectations were for plus 0.4%. So the Chinese consumer struggling to spend. And over the beginning of this year, it has just continued. Inflation has just continued to slow. PPI numbers, producer price factory gate numbers in China as well, dropped 2.8% year on year in March, and that is the 18th monthly fall on the trot. So the scores on the doors at the end of the day here is, having been down 96, the ASX 200 was down 31. Gold, energy and resources were higher. REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust, the worst sector, is down over 3% at one point and had a terrible night, the worst night in about 2 years in the US last night. It is an interest rate sensitive sector. All the REITs off the top. sector down 1.8% in the end, and infrastructure utility stocks down. Consumer discretionary down. If rates aren't going to come down, people are going to have to keep paying their mortgages and not spending on discretionary items. And small caps were down. They don't like higher rates either. And financials were down. We had the Commonwealth Bank down 1.3% today. NAB 0.8% down. Westpac 0.8%. ANZ down 1.1%. So banks leading our market lower today. As I say, that was well off the bottom though. And the big bank basket down 1.1% today. The big resources basket, BHP, Rio, Fortescue added together, up 0.6% today. What else can I tell you? We're waiting for PPI numbers in the US tonight. European Central Bank meeting tonight. We've got US results season starting on Friday night. There's talk about intervention to support the yen in Japan. On the stock front, Avita down 13% on the back of some weak sales guidance for March. NextDC announced a $1.3 billion capital raising at $15.40. Share price currently $16.52 in a trading halt at the moment. That'll see the share price drop. We recently sold, because we are so clever, recently sold NextDC, thinking the share price was over frothed on the AI hype, and we sold those at 17.06 on the 5th of April. We also sold, by the way, Goodman Group, which we think is a boring REIT. It's not the messiah. It's not an AI stock. And we also sold Webjet, which had jumped 17% in a month on the back of a strategy day where they sold themselves as an AI stock. They're a travel company. So we took profits on that as well. Thank you very much. Other things to tell you today, Whitehaven Coal, Macquarie's got a recommendation to buy it after its recent acquisition. They've got a $9 target price, current price $7.72, up 1.9% today. They've just made a huge acquisition in coking coal, whereas previously they were thermal coal. Brokers love it. Worth having a look at that stock. We're writing it up for the newsletter tomorrow and we'll be buying it just as soon as we see our opportunity to do so. Regal Funds Management in the AFR today saying they're short Apple, short Tesla. And that's about that. Dow futures pretty much unchanged. NASDAQ futures as well as we go into the evening. We've sold a lot of stuff in our portfolios. We're still fully invested effectively in the US markets in our strategy portfolio. Have yet to see that big bad day, which usually marks the top of the market. US markets are overbought. Rarely are they this overbought. They're overbought, primed for a fall. That CPI number, the third bad one on the trot, was the excuse to sell off hard. And it hasn't done so. But I would just say it does take a little bit of time for these big macro messages to seep into the market sometimes. It takes the big fund managers a little bit of time to sit down in their asset allocation meetings in their skyscrapers in New York and Beijing and Singapore and even Sydney and London and Frankfurt and decide to do some selling. It doesn't happen in a blink. The same thing happened when the market pivoted back in November, when the Fed meeting effectively told us that that was the top for interest rates. And the market popped and then it dropped for a day and then it got going again. I think there's a good chance if this is a material point in the macro narrative that interest rates have bottomed for the moment, are not going to be cut this year, then that might just feed into the asset allocation meetings over a period of days, a week, rather than necessarily all on one night. So we'll see what happens. But happy with our recent profit taking. The one positive coming up is the results season, which starts, as I say, on Friday night. That's usually a positive for the market. Starts with the big investment banks. There's no excuse for them not to have fabulous results. It's been a great last 3 months for investment banks. Markets have been flying along. Big deals have been done. So the investment bank results should be good. And then you get the follow-up results from big tech. So results season should be good. We'll see what the PPI numbers are tonight. You have a fabulous night. We'll be back tomorrow.